Sure, we thank you. And our first public hearing is conditional use number 1896, Timothy S. Miller.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a malt storage, processing, and sales, also boat and RV storage, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 1.729 acres, more or less, lying east of Road 365, also known as Pepper Corner Road, 1,327 feet south of Road 368, also known as Beaver Dam Road. Gentlemen, this is an application being given consideration as a rehearing for a public hearing we held on June 23rd of 2011. It was determined that the public notice posting was placed on the wrong property. The notice was posted at the entrance to the applicant's home lot, which is a few hundred feet away from the site, and it was not at the subject site. The public notice posting was more recently reposted at the correct location, and depends on how you want to go through this process. I can summarize what we've already heard in the record of May 26th, or else we can start from scratch. It's about a page and a half. I can read into the record for the.
Okay, let's do that.
And then we can proceed.
Then he can pick it up from there.
And then we'll save a little bit of time.
I think it would. Thank you.
Everybody might get tired of hearing me read.
Oh, we never get tired of hearing you read, Lawrence.
So,
we just fall asleep.
On May 26th of 2011, the applicant had submitted a copy of a survey site plan for the proposed malt storage, processing, and sales area, and also the boat and RV storage area. We had received comments from several agencies, first one being from DLDOT. They provided comments on April 18, 2011 in the form of a support facilities report, which referenced that a traffic impact study was not required, that the current level of service A of Pepper's Corner Road will not change as a result of this application. On May 23rd of 2011, we found out that the Sussex Conservation District provided comments in the form of a memorandum which references that there are three soil types on this site, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it is not likely that the proposed project will necessitate any off-site drainage improvements, and that it is possible that the proposed project will necessitate some on-site drainage improvements. On May 24th of 2011, the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided comments in the form of a memorandum, and that memorandum references that the site is located in the Beaver Dam planning area, that an on-site septic system is proposed, that the project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district, that conformity to the South Coastal Planning Study 2005 update will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer at this time, and that when the county does provide sewer service, it will be required that the on-site septic system be abandoned and a connection made to the central sewer system, and therefore a concept plan is not required at this time. For the record of the public hearing, the applicant, Timothy S. Miller, was present and stated in his presentation in response to questions raised by the commission that he would like to wholesale and retail mulch, that he would also like to create a boat and RV storage area behind the existing land surveyor's office on part of the site, that he anticipates four or five employees when the project meets its maximum, that hours are proposed from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, that directly across from the site is woodlands, that he lives on lot one to the rear of the proposed boat and RV storage area, that the public notice sign was posted near the driveway to his residence and not at the intended entrance site, that he would like to sell mulch wholesale in the immediate future and to dye and process mulch from wood chips later on in the future. That he would accept wood chips and then run them through a rotor chopper chip processor, which converts wood chips into colored or natural landscape mulch. That there will be no boat repairs or sales performed on site. That boats will include personal watercraft. That the mulching process would require a skid loader with a front end loader and the processor. That water is available on the site in case of fire and to control dust. That he has had no contact with his neighbors. That he will have an employee to manage the storage area sometime in the future. They will only need a sign for directional purposes. That the boat and RV storage area will be fenced and lighted in phases. That the site plan includes some notes that could be considered suggested conditions. That he anticipates that the mulch facility will be operational 7 days per week and that the boat storage area will be open seasonally for 7 days per week. The grinding, dyeing, and processing of the mulch will be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That the boat and RV storage area will be open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. or by appointment. That the first phase of the boat and RV storage will begin in the fall with a fenced storage area. That the surface of the storage area will remain as grass. That forested buffers already exist along perimeter or portions of the site. That the processor measures 35 foot by 11 foot by 8 foot in height. And that the processor performs the dyeing and mulching. That there is a need in the area for mulch for landscaping. That wood chips will be supplied by tree service companies. That he anticipates a maximum of 10 vehicles per day with deliveries, and that there will not be any stump grinding. The commission and Mr. Miller discussed the location of the notice sign for the application. Mr. Robertson, the assistant county attorney, did state that he would suggest a deferral due to the question about the public notice posting of the site. We found that there were no parties present in support. There were two parties present in opposition, one being Terry Sutton, an adjoining property owner, was present in opposition to the application and stated that her farm had been approved for development of a residential planned community, that the area contains farmland and housing, that there are 8 boat RV storage facilities in the area, that she does not feel that there is a need for more boat or RV storage, and that the creation of a mulching facility and boat RV storage may cause a drawback to future buyers in the project on her property. Jack Stanton, one of the developers of the proposed residential planned community project, was present in opposition due to the 265-unit project, which was proposed to have central water and sewer, and stated that he will be building a pump station to serve the project and that this proposal will impact the proposed residential planned community. The commission was advised that the residential planned community has zoning approval, but not a final site plan approval. And at the conclusion of the meeting on May 26th, the commission did defer action for further consideration and to allow Mr. Robertson to review the public notice posting issue. To date, I've received no additional comments on this application. I did receive comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, and I proofed them, and they were the same comments in a different, same format, same comment on a memorandum that were submitted to us back before the May 26th meeting. So those comments are the same. And gentlemen, that's all I have. I do have a picture of the posting of the property as it should have been located, and that has been correctly posted.
All right, sir. We thank you. Yes, sir.
My name is Timothy Miller. I live at 34478 Mad Dog Run in Frankfort, Delaware. I'd like to pass these out.
I'm going to have to ask our council to take a look at this. We have a rule. Is that already in the file? Is that something that's already in the file, Lawrence? Do you know?
Pardon? To Mr. Lank about
exhibits, you know, typically exhibits submitted by the applicant have to be submitted in advance. so we may not be able to look at this, but you can show it to us.
Okay. Well, I can collect it when I passed stuff out last time.
Now, what happens? It has to be in the file. It has to already be in the file.
Is this something that you can discuss pictures?
It's pictures.
Is it mostly pictures?
Maybe you want to just go through and discuss
points
it.
Points of discussion, but.
It's true.
I'd have to see it to be able to.
Let me take a look for a second.
I just want to give you guys a better idea of the aerial view.
Just trying to follow the rules here.
If it's pictures like aerials, it would have been.
Oh, okay. Now this is all right. It's okay. It's pictures. Okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was a booklet.
And if it's photographs, it's something.
Yeah, sure. Pass it on. Is there anyone here with an interest in this application? If you would like to have a set of what we're looking at, be happy for you to, if the applicant has an extra one. If not, you may have mine. There you go. Okay.
At the public hearing, the applicant did submit us a photograph and a little article from online on reference to a fertigator or whatever it was
right.
called.
Right. Okay. Please note it in the record.
The exact name is a roto chopper.
That's it, sorry.
I guess to start, I don't want to be redundant from what we discussed last time, but just to stress the proximity of the proposed business to Route 1 and Route 26 in the Ocean View area. We're about 4 miles west of Route 1 and about 3 miles south of Route 26 in a very rural area. I feel strongly that the residents in these subdivisions in the area would consider this business a service. During the summertime, there's a lot of backup, a lot of traffic on Route 26 and Route 1. All the existing mulch sales locations are on Route 26. This would give those residents a convenient alternative. Also, in addition, if there are planned new upscale developments in the area, boat storage would be a service to the residents in those areas. Normally, in what people consider an upscale development, they don't allow them to have boats stored in the driveway. So this would give them a viable service, I feel. The appearance of the proposed business is going to be very, I guess you guys could look at the aerial photograph that I provided that shows the approximate location of the mulch processing and sales, as well as the approximate location of the boat storage. There are two mature forested areas lining either side of these proposed businesses. The nearest property line to the south, where the proposed subdivision that's been discussed is at a minimum 300 feet through a thick wooded area. There's no way, or it would be very difficult for anyone in a residence that's developed in the future to see through the woods, to see anything going on at the mulch or the boat storage. from Pepper's Corner Road, as you drive along the road, you'd have to slow down and make an extra effort to look to see back behind the existing land surveying office and the existing four-car garage to see any activity in the back there. The sound coming from the proposed business would only be from the skid steer previously mentioned, and that's a diesel-operated skid steer that I think is 95 decibels, and that's no louder than a truck traveling on the highway or on that road. That's pretty much kind of all I wanted to go over, since everything that I'd said before was restated by Mr. Lank. My partner, Katie Shule, was going to talk about the safety and some other issues with the roto chopper. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Catherine Shule, and I live at 34478 Mad Dog Run, Frankfurt. As Tim mentioned, I was going to talk to you a little bit about mulch safety and fire safety. I'm sure you all are familiar with the fire risk that's involved with composting and mulching. What I wanted to do first is clear up some of the terminology. You know, what we're talking about here is a mulch sales facility. I realize that in the wording, it does have storage, like a mulch storage facility. The only storage would be storing the mulch between the time of production or when it is dropped off from the wholesaler to the time of sales. We will not be storing it for the purpose of composting. With composting, you're required to let the materials age in order to get the required breakdown of the materials. That's not at all what we're discussing here. So basically, if you look into the research from the EPA and several other agencies, they've identified the risk factors that cause mulch fires to be more common. The largest risk factors are having large piles of mulch. The large piles that they describe are more than 1,000 cubic yards and also more than 12 feet high. They also specify that the risk nearly quadruples when the piles are more than 20 feet high. They also describe the age of the piles, and the risk of a fire also increases when the piles are more than 2 months old. So the best methods of fire prevention in mulch facilities are to increase the airflow to the center of the mulch pile. The way that you do that is by, first of all, keeping the mulch piles small, and the other way you do it is by what they call turning the mulch piles, basically letting more airflow into the center. In this facility, we will be having small piles of mulch, and they will be turned on a regular basis, which I will describe to you. If you take a look at the site maps that you all have, you will see that there is an existing garage structure. It's a four-car pole barn-type structure. The mulch is going to be stored along the back side of that structure in what we would call storage bays. It's going to be four bays. They will be 10 feet wide and constructed using concrete blocks. I'll give you a moment to open this up. These concrete walls are going to be about 6 feet high, and they're going to extend 15 feet into the mulch area from the back of the garage. What this means is that the capacity of each mulch bay is going to be approximately 33 cubic yards of mulch. What I want you to notice is that 33 cubic yards is much smaller than what the EPA considers a large pile, which is a fire risk. Those would be 1,000 cubic yards or more. These piles will also be less than 6 feet tall because that is the height of the walls. You will note that this is well within the safety standards for mulch fire prevention. These piles are also going to be turned on a regular basis. Turning them will actually be in the form of selling mulch. We will be constantly bringing in new mulch and selling the old mulch. In addition to that, we will be meeting with the Sussex County Fire Marshal to discuss any concerns that they have and to come up with a fire action plan. Tim also mentioned that in the future we will be obtaining a what's considered a single-pass grinder. I believe the one that he showed you was a rotochopper, he said. There's a few that are comparable. They're all considered single-pass grinders. They are powered by a diesel engine. Because they're smaller, they're actually designed to be used in smaller facilities where noise may be a concern, and so they do have an insulated engine compartment to help decrease the noise. When a single-pass grinder like that is being used, the noise that it lets out is about 110 decibels. A good comparison, because most of us don't know what 110 decibels sounds like, it would be about the same noise level of an 18-wheeler or a semi-truck traveling down the road at 55 miles an hour from about a 25-foot distance away from you. As Tim also mentioned, I'd like to bring up again that there are those two large wooded barrier areas which would provide for sound insulation for the neighboring properties. I do have to tell you the exact sound measurements. I was told this is an estimate because it depends on the water content of the wood and also the ambient humidity. and also factors such as wind. I believe that completes my presentation.
All right, we thank you. Anything else, Mr. Miller?
No, that's all.
That it? Okay. Well, let's see if anybody has any questions for you. We'll start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Miller, Ms. Scholl. Mr. Miller, you've heard what Director Lank read into the record. Are you satisfied with that as a...
Well, I'm not sure where that number of employees came from. I don't know if it'll be that many. I don't remember saying that. I might have said it, but I was 4 or 5 might be pushing it. I guess I was recorded. I must have said it. Okay, so in rethinking, 4 or 5 might be pushing. I don't know if I would need that many people.
You used the word maximum.
Okay, maximum.
That's
okay.
Extreme.
So well, everything else is consistent.
I wanted to ask you that question and following up to what you just said, because it was my memory was a lot of what Mr. Lank read was coming from questions that were proffered by the commission to you to try to get some answers. I have to say, if you were with us earlier this evening, I mentioned prior to making a motion, I referenced an applicant that was well represented by an attorney, an engineer, and another professional that stated their credentials to the commission to testify, and it is very helpful to applicants as well as to the commission, the general public, to have, you know, as clean and sharp a presentation as possible. Things such as submission of anything that's not for the file. So I'm giving you that as an idea, because what this commission will do is, at some point, we will make a recommendation to County Council. County Council will, you, sir, will appear before them, I guess, on August the 2nd for another hearing. So in this interim period, knowing that there were some of your neighbors that were in opposition to your proposed operation application, have you made any overtures to those neighbors to assuage any of their cares and concerns?
Well, I just tried to clarify it with the aerial photograph and the positioning of
understood
of where the business is going to okay. actually be in relation to where the neighboring properties are.
Fine. I have a question for Ms. Scholl at the end, but could you explain to me the link between the boat storage and the malt storage processing and sales? Because it seems to me like they're sort of disseparate business plans.
That's correct. They are disseparate business plans.
Okay.
There's really no link between them.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Ms. Scholl, if I could, I'm sorry, you did a wonderful job. I just wanted to ask you again, because I may not have heard. What did you say the decibel level of the shredder malter machine was?
110.
110.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's, in your opinion, that's close to?
A semi-truck.
Semi-truck.
Traveling at approximately 55 miles an hour
okay.
from a distance of 25 feet from you.
Okay. And you got that information from?
That's from the EPA. And then also, I've been consulting with the rotor chopper mm-hmm. manufacturer.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate
You're
it.
Welcome.
That's all I have, sir.
Okay. Mr. Rawls?
No questions.
Mr. Johnson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple questions, and Dr. Scholl, I'll ask you about the processing for the mulch. Are you planning to recycle wood chips and only wood chips, or...?
Yes. I'm sorry if I didn't address that. I thought that had been
You may have,
the last
but it, I, the reason why I ask is because when I'm looking at the picture that you submitted of the wood chipping processing, that shows pallets in the back. And I know in the past we've had applicants who've come in that were going that proposed, you know, processing pallets and branches and stumps, but
right. No, I understand. I know exactly what photo you're talking about. But no, actually, we will only be processing wood chips, not pallets, not yard waste, not stumps, not brush, wood chips that have been collected from companies such as utility companies that need to cut down trees, land clearing companies. Basically, it's pre-chipped wood.
Okay. Because I know in 2011, we had another operation in Harbison that sounds very similar to what you're proposing, and that they were proposing using only wood chips that were mm-hmm. brought in by landscapers or, the tree companies. So is that
yes,
what I'm hearing?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Thank you. The other question is on the picture that was presented, there appears to be a house in the back side of the where you're proposing for the boat and RV storage.
Yes.
Is that part of your property or separate property or?
Yeah, that's part of our property.
That's your so the house with it looks like a circular drive is yours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because again, my concern would be in providing a visual barrier between your property and that residence.
Yes, and actually we have discussed putting in a visual barrier.
And in relation to the proposed subdivision, how close would you anticipate any of the houses being to your property line?
I'm actually going to let Tim handle that question.
Okay.
I think that if you look at the site plan that was provided originally, that was part of the original package.
Yes.
And you can refer to the north arrow at the top of the page. The subdivision that I was referring to is due south, and a distance of it, the closest proximity through the woods would be 300 feet to that neighboring property line. And it gets further away because the property is pie-shaped. As it approaches the road, there's about 600 feet of frontage, and it pies back there where the residence shown on the aerial photograph is. Point of the pie is back there.
And so access to this property would be through the current driveway, which is next to the land surveying office?
Right. If you look at the second 11 by 17 sheet of paper, I think the second image of the six, it shows the existing paved driveway.
Yes.
It's about 30 feet wide as it meets the county road right now.
Okay. And how would you describe the odors that might emanate from your malt storage and processing as compared to, let's say, the chicken houses across the street?
I'd see no way that they could overpower the odors that come from the chicken houses across the street.
Thank you very much. I have no further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Our answer, we thank you. Mr. Burton.
Just one or a couple for me. What is the maximum number of boat storage that you're planning?
We've shown on the site plan 100. Well, it's noted in the notes that there would be a maximum of 100 boats. Would be limited to 100 boats or RVs combined.
Okay. And then you plan on fencing it as you stage it, or
incrementally as it becomes affordable to fence it.
But at all times it would be completely fenced in.
It would be, the fencing would be constructed incrementally.
Right, but you have a little fence, and then you get a little bigger fence, a little bigger fence.
Well, no, it would be, the way I see it, would be a fence on one portion of the perimeter, and then the next year, 6 months later, the second portion of the perimeter would be fenced. There's an image of the vinyl fencing that exists now along the side property line of the land surveying office. We would like to continue with that style of fencing, which is expensive relative to other ways we could fence it. So I'd rather have it look nice like that, and that's kind of how it would be done incrementally.
But there'd be no security of the boat
well,
storage?
Well, I think there's natural security. My residence is there, and we have the office in the front and the residence in the back, and the buffered trees provides a psychological sense of security, I guess, but there won't be a locked gate for the boats initially.
But there will be hours of operation on that as far
that's
as
correct,
people
yes.
coming in and out. They get their boat for the day, use it.
Well, no. The boat pickup and drop off will be by schedule only. We will have a contract that all the patrons of the boat storage service do sign and agree to. They can pick up their boat at the beginning of the boat season and then drop it off at the end of the season.
No, thank you. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
Just clarification. There's one question raised by Mr. Smith, I believe. The closest point to the nearest property line of the recently approved Lakeland's RPC, which is
I know that the nearest property line to the south is 300 feet from where any boat storage will take place.
And the mulching would be even further.
The mulching would be even further away.
But you don't know where that specific property line is for the Lakeland's?
Well, yes, I do know specifically where it is, but it's not annotated on any drawing.
I was just questioning the distance. We were talking distance from the development, and that's the development I think they were referring to.
Right, right. And I was going to...
Plus 300 foot is what I'm...
That's correct.
Okay. That's correct. That's fine. Thank you. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Okay, Mr. Smith?
No questions.
All right, then.
We thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1896, Timothy S. Miller? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1896? Yes, ma'am, and then, sir.
I'm going to have the same concern because I have a picture of my property compared to theirs.
You're actually allowed to submit anything anytime you want.
Great.
To.
Well, then I'm going to submit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Without overdoing some things that I said in the past, I think, first of all, you guys need to understand who I am. I'm Terry S. Wilkinson, a lifelong resident of Sussex County. I grew up in Milton. I lived on the parcel of land that we're talking about tonight from 1998 until 2004. I currently live in Lewis. I've been an educator all my life, a math teacher for 22 years, a guidance counselor. I'm currently an assistant principal at Cape and Lipan High School. I'm here this evening because I'm concerned about my farm near Bethany, which is under contract to be developed as an upscale housing subdivision. The land use is being proposed on my property adjacent to the land is that of a boat storage and mulch facility. I'm not in any way trying to undermine an entrepreneur in his efforts to start a productive business. However, at this time and in this location, this business would have a negative impact on the proposed house values on my property. My land's virtue is just great. It is close to Bethany, it's close to Fenwick, it's close to Ocean City, and it still has country appeal. A boat storage facility and a mulching business would distract aesthetically as well as environmentally to the area. As I stated before, there are 8 boat storage facilities within a 10-mile radius of my farm. So there is already an established presence of boat storage opportunities. Economically, it is harmful to other established businesses to flood a market if there is no need. Also, the noise, signage, traffic would not work within the infrastructure of the area. I am not in any means a regulatory agency. However, I did do a little research, which I have provided with you in the packet, on runoff. Runoff of mulch is considered a pollutant. It is composed of organic materials, including nitrogen and phosphorus, and it can also carry total suspended solids. These materials are pollutants, and they're regulated by the Clean Water Act and Delaware law. As for the boat storage, leaking oil, gas, grease, and runoff of these materials is toxic, and it is also regulated by law as pollutants. A boat storage facility would discharge oil, gasoline, and grease. These are hydrocarbons, and they contain hundreds of chemicals which are negative to human health. Both facilities would be a concern because of the location of this business. They would ultimately affect the fragile inland bay watershed. In conclusion, my points are this. Number one, it has a negative impact on the property value of my land and any future development of homes. Number two, the infrastructure does not support this. Number three, the need of these two services is not prevalent. Number four, it does not work in the present landscape. And number five, the environmental effect is detrimental. Given the amount of land currently holding boat storage and mulching facilities, the necessity and need at the proposed site is questionable at this time. This property, my property, has unique characteristics which are not prevalent everywhere, and they should not be compromised. Thank you very much for listening to my concerns, and please look at the information that I've given you, and I just appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, I got a copy of what you read.
What I read? Sure.
It's a lot easier for him. It's a lot easier for him if he can put it in the record from your notes than it is from his memory or the tape that is running. Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Bo Kroll. I'm an environmental scientist. I'm also Terry's son, and have a vested interest in the land. Some of the key points to piggyback off of in more detail, but these materials that are discussed are regulated in Delaware, specifically under Section 9.0 of regulations governing sediment and stormwater discharge. Mulch specifically is of a big concern in the Delaware and Lynn Bay watershed because of nitrogen, phosphorus, bacteria, total suspended solids, BODs. I won't get too technical, but if you guys have questions, feel free to ask.
We've heard those terms before.
boat storage, specifically, we'd be looking at the hydrocarbons. These, again, are all regulated. And again, with the overall concern in the watershed, the adjacent and receiving waterways near this facility will be adversely impacted by the runoff and discharges associated with it. This includes short-term changes in water quality during storm events, spills and leaks, and then after storm events. This can lead to spikes in nutrient levels, toxic levels, and bacterial levels in the local waterways. The long-term impacts for water quality will be the cumulative effects of the discharges, runoff, spills and leaks, which can result in lower oxygen levels and algae blooms, decreased turbidity, loss of vegetation life, loss of fish life, and an overall ecological degradation. There's also going to be physical impacts with when you're starting to move sediment, reconstruct the way things are flowing. That's going to increase sedimentation, erosion, and changes in runoff frequency and volume. With the production, storage, and maintenance of mulch and boats, solids, nutrients, and oxygen-demanding substances are going to flow into the Inland Bays watershed, which is already an impaired watershed. The National Estuary Report indicated 70% of streams entering the bay are already impaired. The watershed also rated poor in regards to the sediment quality index and only rated fair in terms of water quality index. As a result, any additional pressure is only going to degrade the watershed more. That's all I have, and I'll feel free to answer any questions.
I just have a question for you. And I know that you mentioned you were a scientist. Can you address what you think the impact of residential development would be on the watershed and so on versus the mulch that we're talking about here?
Well, again, that would be a tough comparison because it has not been developed. So I would kind of be remiss to speculate. That's just in my opinion. So, yeah, there's going to be impacts from both. And there's mitigation strategies for both. I'm merely asking the question for that point specifically tonight. Okay. And I mean, if there was a plan right now, I would comment further on that.
But there's no plan at this point.
Correct. So,
Mr. Chairman, I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
Could you tell me how close in proximity this particular property is to any wetlands as well as tax ditches that? And where the nearest impact would be on the Inland Bays?
Where this would eventually? I'm not sure the exact in terms of yardage or mileage in terms of tax ditches, but I do know that it's going to discharge into the Little Aspen Bay watershed, which is part of the overall watershed of the Inland Bays. And in terms of regulations, distance does not matter as far as the regulations go. It will be treated the same as if it's as if it's 1 foot from the tax ditch or if it's 10 miles from the tax ditch. The level of runoff will be monitored. Have to be monitored the same.
So you're not sure how close the nearest tax ditch is and how far this particular property is from the Aswoman Bay?
No.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Anything else? All right, sir. We thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir.
For the record, my name is Bruce Plummer. I am the broker of record and chief operating officer of Coldwell Banker Resort Realty. We have offices in Lewis and Rehoboth Beach. My company is responsible for brokering the contract of sale on the piece of property adjacent to the parcel in question, which has been the subject of discussion this evening. We have represented both the selling side and the listing side of the transaction, and I think I speak for both. And I live in Lewis, but I'm speaking tonight as a professional in my professional capacity as a real estate broker. When I say that I believe, and I think you would have to acknowledge that certainly the proposed use does not have a positive impact, and if anything, I would think you'd have to agree has a negative impact on housing values in the area. I know that the contract that we brokered was put together some time ago. We're talking about a period of years now. As you well know, this takes some time, and I know a great deal of funds have been invested in getting to where we are today. In the last year, I know there's been mechanical drawings or engineering drawings sent back and forth to the county. I know that there's ongoing work to develop this piece of land, and a great investment has been made over the last couple of years to do so. While I don't know Mr. Miller, and I certainly don't have any ill feelings or wish him any ill, I think professionally I have to speak at what I believe is in the best interest of both my buyer and seller when I say that I foresee a negative impact from the view and also the noise in particular. And it's been asked how close these properties are. I don't have the plan in front of me that I can tell you exactly how far this proposed use would be from the house that's closest to it, but I can tell you the two properties adjoin. And the contract is for property that adjoins and butts up to the parcel that's in question, which is not that wide of a parcel. So I speak tonight in an unfamiliar position. I normally am a very strong proponent of private property rights and would not be recommending against the use. But I think in this case, I think with the proposed use next door, I would have to speak against this motion.
Couple questions for you. Yes, I'm a little confused. You're talking about the same parcel, this lady's parcel of land?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. There's no plan or anything. What have we been spending all this money on? Are we studying? I mean, what kind of investment?
Well, what I know that has been thus far, and I'm not the agent in my firm that has done this, but what I know thus far is that there has been a portion of the land has been subdivided, a portion that had a house on it. Okay. I know there have been attorneys retained in legal fees. I know there have been hearings and some zoning changes or assessments, because I know taxation and assessments have changed. And I know that there have been renderings, not real recently, but back and forth with county engineering offices, where there have been drawings to tie this proposed subdivision into central sewer.
Okay.
All right. So the sewer renderings have been the most recent drawings and expense.
Okay. Has there been any... do we know how many EDUs or how many units are anticipated?
I really don't know. No, sir. Okay. I can't answer.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
An RPC is a change in zone, right?
Okay.
So my dilemma in these situations like this is, should the RPC change in zone negatively impact Mr. Miller's request for a change in use? Both are change in zone, change in use. So who's negatively impacting whom? I guess it depends on which shoe your foot is in. You know, from Mr. Miller's perspective, he might say that the rezoning of the RPC negatively impacts him today. And from your perspective, it's the other way around. And so you see the dilemma that's here. It's not as clear cut as maybe either person says. But in our situation, we're trying to say, well, because it maybe negatively impacts one, well, that overpowers the negative impact of the other, and I have a problem with that.
I understand and I appreciate your comment, and I certainly, as I say, am a proponent of private property rights and empathize with the applicant. However, I think that most people would find that the change to residential dwellings would be less of an impact in most cases than a proposed wood mulching and boat storage, which I think is probably less favorable in public perception and probably has more of a negative impact on property values than a residential use would, my personal opinion.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Speaking as a real estate professional, what do you think would have a greater impact on property values, a boat storage and a mulch storage area, which is pretty much enclosed by a wooded area, or chicken houses?
Well, I think if you're looking at two scenarios in the exact location, I think both of those would have a negative impact. What we're talking about this evening are not two things in the same location. The chicken house is across the street, and none of these homes would abut to or back up to the chicken house. If you were to put the chicken house on the same parcel of land, I would find it equally offensive.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Plummer. Appreciate it. Okay, who's next? Anyone else wish to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.